1993. We're gathered for a business meeting. Greetings, Commander.
Hold just a minute. You're not. Yes, you've really got a lot of bombardment. Commander's here in Radiance. And I'm going to precede this by acknowledging to the surveillance teams that if I must, I will blow out your electronics gear. I'm really tired of this. We're taking the opportunity to have a early in the week meeting. We're very, very pleased to have Carlson's with us. And the bombardments are so heavy that it's so hard on you ones here trying to accomplish a task to have to go over a mountain to get it done. That I feel we may need a few more business meetings, just business-type meetings. Ones are doing fine, but I believe that anyone under 30 years of age or 40 years of age doesn't understand when to panic and when to not. You're closing down on some of the most incredibly terrible and yet glorious times of your planet. I don't have either the inclination nor the time to waste on such drivel and triviality as continues to go on. I will take this opportunity and I will beg forgiveness of our friends who come to visit that we have to do it this way. We're not a church. We're not a group. We are various and sundry individuals collectively working toward a unified goal, each with a different job, and there comes a time when we have to share these things. I'm not going to take more time in the contact where it is imperative that ones get information any longer, and I'm going to name names on Leon Fort and Beam, or any of those underneath workings. A total agreement was worked out, and Leon Fort is not only getting all of his money back, but he's getting it with interest. Now, we are weary of this. This has been for over a month, and we still get these kinds of letters. And a very, very lengthy letter from Leon, wrapped up with, and by the way, how could Ann possibly have known the difference in EJ's voice and George Green's voice in that phone call? It has nothing to do with George Green or EJ. It has nothing to do with who was on the phone. It had everything to do with the fact that she said, "George, this is your emissary." Now, if I am dealing with dullards, I apologize. And then I am dared to run that in the contact in full. I will not waste one more word on that letter. Thank you. Now, you may, please, somebody get it to the ones who have all these contacts. Tell them I have no objection to what they do. They can go and dance around the candles. It is their damn business. And yes, I said damn. I am in your environment, and I want to tell you it stinks. And as long as we understand each other and the massive job we have to do, then we'll get over this crap. Now, I am very, very pleased that there is someone to look after Esther while Leon can go and do his work. If he does not understand his own actions, then I no longer can help him. Now, as far as getting that word out to everyone, we don't have to worry about it anyway. Please get the word to him that Mr. Green is sending it to everyone. As backup for his antics. So you may as well listen while I go through yesterday. Mr. Methvin, who represented these ones the first time in the court of law, in the federal court, where he got ruled against, and then from that one sprang everything. Well, along comes, now we're going to get a lawsuit from Mr. Methvin for having lost the case for us, and he wanted an additional $5,000. So we said, nope, we're not going to do that. Take it to arbitration. That is a law amongst lawyers. So yesterday came the telephone conference, and Mr. Dixon was there, and there were the three or four lawyers that meet to consider these things. Well, I have to allow these things to go on and fulfill themselves, because I want to tell you, as close as Dorma is to me, you ones are so naive that I just choke. They were in a federal court where the magistrate said there have already been tentative solutions. Mr. Methvin, without even a sign-off, went to represent George Green after Eckers fired him. George had stopped tips doing all sorts of, quite frankly, unethical, illegal things, and to the point where Mr. Tips asked to be relieved from the case. I'm laying this groundwork not for gossip, but to let you know that here in the middle of an under oath argument over this bill, in other words, he didn't want just the $5,000 he had already been paid. He wanted $10,000 to have screwed you badly. And yet he did some things very well. So he was most certainly worth what he did that one occasion. There were some other things unthinkable that took place. And our own non-attorneys had to pick up the load and make sure papers were filed. Now, when these ones, before the meeting that part of you went to with Judge or Magistrate Beck, EJ and Dorma spent all day partly in the office of that magistrate. He was trying very hard to work something out, and it seemed very weird at the time. And Michael would keep coming back and forth, you know, and finally they just went in before the magistrate to hear, and the magistrate literally said, you may as well go ahead. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it, because he would be legally more accountable than that. Nothing was being taped. The other attorney was not in the room. But he was basically saying, you may as well sign the papers. Dorma says, I cannot in good conscience sign such a paper. I cannot pay $43,000. Why would I ever agree to do such a thing? Moreover, those books are not my property. They are the property of the Institute. I cannot sign it. And at that point, the judge even said, I would entertain a couple of members from your board at the next occasion if that would make you more comfortable. And when she repeated again, I cannot pay it. We have nothing. You see, we are on food stamps, sir. He said, then it doesn't matter. You just don't pay it. She said, that is not my idea of integrity. But if you cannot pay it, then you don't pay it. That's all there is to it. And they seemed to have some kind of an agreement already worked out. He knew very well there was a full agreement worked out. And little bitty pieces would come back. And so EJ says, well, I would be happy to consider doing such a thing because my wife is already absolutely and totally sick of these books. They are not books. They are journals. They are like a newspaper or a magazine. And 9 out of 60 at that point of the argument in the first place did not matter. Now there are over 80 of them. It matters less, do you see? Well, Dorma gets all tied up in knots because why have I put her through this? I put her through this because you ones had to know that the University of Science and Philosophy is a working branch of one of the largest, most incredible mind manipulation organizations in your world. They are funded by the Brookings Institute, which is the prime and leading arm of the mind brainwashing Tavistock Institute of England. And they are operated by MI6, which is the Crown's own personal military British intelligence force. Those books don't mean whimmy. If you think you can keep God's light from coming forth, it will not happen. And if you think that God needs the University of Science and Philosophy to get that done, you have another think coming. We have no pick with that institute. I do not care what they do. You should. I have no interest in them. Well, why do we continue to talk about this? It is so annoying to talk about this. No, it's not. Number one, to you ones, it's gossip and you love it. Number two, this is what is the matter with your world. So, Michael comes out and says, well, sir, this is what they want to do. They want you to be a judgment brought against you for $43,000 and something. Not less or and, you know, whatever. With interest, you know, all this stuff. And Mr. Green, it appears, will pick up payments if they cannot collect from Eckers or the Institute. Big deal, right? In other words, he will pay zero. He will have no responsibility. But it doesn't soak in, does it, until you are in another situation where that lawyer gets up and he's making his pitch for why he deserves all this. And after all, there were, what, 3/10 of an hour that he didn't charge for. 3/10 of an hour that he didn't charge for. You can breathe heavy for 3/10 of an hour, and most attorneys do, on the telephone to make it go into, you know, the next $6 increment. Well, that's funny. But it's getting less and less funny as the lies are pouring out of his mouth. Dorma had already shouted at the ones on the telephone, you know, to that she felt there was a gross miscarriage of justice and conflict of interest, that we'd never released this man, and yet he went to work for Mr. Green. So he gets up and he says, well, but, you know, I have no idea why they couldn't find Mr. Green to serve him with these papers. The fact that the marshal went there and George Green claimed he was not George R. Green, he was George W. Green, and refused, and then they could never find him again. Those people even came to the Bulbright's rally to serve him. But suddenly now, Mr. Green is no longer a point in issue, period. And then he blew it. He said, well, I did represent Mr. Green in this matter only, and I certainly see no conflict of interest. I settled the case for Mr. Green and the University of Science and Philosophy in June.
Wow.
For $43,000. And you think there's no hanky-pank? Now, what real chance do you think you have of going into a court of law in October and making a point for the truth of God in any kind of way at all regarding these volumes? When you have an attorney who is now saying, well, and then they had another attorney and they're trying to get rid of him too and they're in pro per. This looks like you've gone through four attorneys. And then they fired Mr. Tipps, or they asked Mr. Tipps to resign. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. Mr. Tipps was so involved and had done some unethical, illegal things for Mr. Green and asked to be off the case. And you ones watched what happened with Mr. McDonald. And it hasn't anything to do even with Mike McDonald. It has everything to do with finances. How long can you continue this? So they asked to go in pro per. It isn't even easy to go into pro per. In fact, at this point, it's been impossible. The judge sends the paperwork back and says, I can't rule on this. This is a transfer to another attorney. No, it isn't. We want to go in pro per. The Constitution says we can do that. Well, scratch your head. You have no justice system anymore, period. Gone. They set it up so that it would be gone before you ones got to the opportunity of doing anything like this. Does that mean that judge is bad? No. It means he doesn't know any better and he's going by the letter of the law. And I want to tell you right now that what finally did it with Dorma yesterday, and I thought she was going to blow her brains. She turned crimson red and literally her brain swelled up and I had to get her moving. It would have been easier to say, I am a satanic worshiper and I do for my religious beliefs seances and stab bodies than it is to say I receive from the higher resources of God. There's a marked silence on the other end. And then they want to question a little bit, who is Saint Germain? Oh, I mean, now we're going to get into who the hell the angels are. Well, Mr. Russell seemed to have received from God, and somehow it's not all right for these ones to receive from the same force. Those are ETs. The facts are, it is not all right to receive from either one. Nobody gives a damn. And the case will never be based on the logic, reason, or understanding of truth. It's in favor of God. And you will find that even your law, who had a satanic witch up to take an oath in one of the federal courtrooms, they had to provide a book of Wicca for her to take an oath. They don't even use the Bible. They just stick your hand up and swear to. They say under God. Now, how do you think it's going to go in October when the attorney has, their own attorney has gone over here with Mr. Green and settled a case where Mr. Green is now their boy? You've had it, world. You witnessed it yesterday and this morning. And if you don't get out there and do what you can for Ross Perot, you deserve to lose everything, and that's where you're headed. It took three presidents this morning to denounce Ross Perot sufficiently in this NAFTA agreement business. Demagoguery, lies, distortions, the most dangerous man around in your nation. Hear it. They are pushing NAFTA now to the point that that's all you're going to hear. And they can make it look like if you don't get NAFTA, you were gone day before yesterday. That's all the problem you've got, you know. This is going to help industry in the United States of America to the point, you'll lose a few jobs in the beginning. But when those industries down there buy all your industrial equipment, look what money you'll make and the goods you can sell and the jobs you'll create making this industrial equipment. BS, they'll ship it down there, dummies. Now, why am I lecturing on this? I don't have the vaguest idea because I've got my hands so full. And if you're not seeing us, I don't want any bitching about that either. We are out there every night. Every night. And we are giving you a show almost every hour. And I can't help it if you sit in your living room and say, I never see anything. Rick, tell me what's going on in Yucca Valley. Let's get a little earth confirmation here. Then just move right on down here to New Mexico.
Got a call yesterday. Push the button up.
Got a call yesterday saying that on Thursday night there was a low-flying, cigar-shaped, brightly blue, illuminated craft that streaked through the valley. So bright that it illuminated the ground, but was you were not able to look at it. In New Mexico and Arizona, there are a lot of craft. Here's a fax that we received this morning from Lori, and she says that a friend of hers in Flagstaff witnessed what she thought was a weather balloon during a storm on Saturday night. And that ties in with the reports we've had over the last week about weather balloons, military craft, Space Command, etc. There's a lot of activity in the sky right now.
It's what I think you call is a Dutch standoff. Some of you call it a Mexican standoff, but I want to go with a hard-headed Dutchman of the world. I work with one. They're so that there's going to be a very, very high bail or bond required to get Gunther out. They've drummed up some new charges of some kind. And they're afraid he'll skip. You are to the time of massive confrontation of the various and sundry facets of your government. These are all distractions, little agreements. Listen to what they say and look who signed the agreements. Nobody in any kind of a capacity to make those binding. When? Just speak up. Does anybody know when these agreements get finalized and the top leaders of the nation sign them? All right, you're on top of things. What do you think the rest of the people think? Do you think they know when? 3 years before it means a flipping thing. You think there's going to be peace in Palestine? They're killing each other every night. Every day. They're marching. They're killing. And I believe it's a Japanese, it's an Asian company that has put on your market this day a game called Mortal Kombat or Mortal Confrontation or Mortal something. It is absolutely bloodier than anything you have ever produced. You get 3 socks at the other party on your little game machine, and then whoever gets, when it's time for the 3rd one, they just decapitate the person and all the blood comes out. It is absolutely insane. But they don't want those little children to have to go all the way down to the arcade to play this game when you can have such a market and have it right in your home. They expect it to be the biggest seller ever of any one product for Christmas. You're just in it. That's all there is to it. And that means that we are in it. And you will not get a breath of it on the national news. We are all over like yellow jackets to a piece of bacon. We are in the skies in New Mexico and Arizona, and those little UN soldiers are just running around here and they're running around there, and they're bringing in troops to the area. Meanwhile, back in the Rose Garden, and you do make a difference. Instead of being able to sign off the embargo of Vietnam, enough has been said that Mr. Clinton couldn't do it. Oh, he opened the way, and guess who's running in there? GE, first one into the East Bloc nations also. Your major Bank of America is going to go into operation right now. In fact, they already seem to have their facilities built. So they're going to let them go ahead anyway. This is the most wonderful thing. This is the beginning of a breakdown of that embargo. Surely it will follow. Surely it will follow. With death to every POWMIA and every ounce of integrity of this nation. Now, why would they do that? Because the annual income of a worker in Vietnam is $800 annually. And that makes Mexican wages of $2,000 something too expensive. So for $4 an hour, but don't let this, I mean, you're talking about the Macleodoria bet of Mexico, Matamoros, Reynoso, Tijuana. It is already so polluted, they cannot even begin to manage the sewage systems that they've got. And you have a first stage alert asking for national help in San Diego because of the pollution coming over from Mexico. For $4 an hour or less, that is all inclusive. It's more like $1.50 an hour versus $30 an hour for a worker in Detroit. So of course GM moves down there. But look at all the cars you can import. Well, how are you going to pay for them, even if they are cheap? Going to put a